Day of Lord Nrsingadev.
I'd like to continue speaking not just about Lord Nrsingadev, of course not just, but to speak also about the Lord's incarnations in general. And actually, I had a slideshow, but the computer's not cooperating. That's all right. I can speak without it. It's not a problem. So, Om Agadat Samadanda Shag Ananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Minitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. What's that? Sunshine's all right. Let the sun in. So we're going to talk about avatars. That's a very commonly used word, especially there was a movie by the name of Avatar recently, wasn't there? And in this particular movie, the personality who was the star of the movie, we're not going to tell the whole story, of course, he took on a different body. How did he take on a different? Through the miracle modern technology. Of course, we're not saying that you can do that using modern technology, because the change of bodies is generally done by, not generally, it's always done by Krishna's agents, especially a nice person named Yamaraj. Well, Yamaraj actually doesn't only, this may become a surprise for all of you, but he doesn't only punish the miscreants, he also awards the good guys. So he has both things. He's like the judge. Like in the Western theology, sometimes you see God is depicted as a judge on a throne. And he's keeping a book, right? You've been naughty, you've been nice. I remember when I went to a religious service when I was very young, not Hare Krishna service, and they said, God has a book, and he's writing down everything you do. And I started to get really nervous about that. And I think, well, he can't see me all the time. So, but Krishna himself doesn't have to do those sorts of things. Krishna himself is in Goloka Vrindavan enjoying life. And whatever God does is for his own enjoyment. So he has people to do it for him. Just like if you're a CEO of a particular company, you don't do the bookkeeping. You hire someone to do the accounting. And sometimes you outsource it to India, like we were talking about before. You don't even hire people in America. You outsource it. So in the same way, God sort of outsources all these different management things. And Yamaraj, he has someone who's... Even Yamaraj doesn't keep the count. He has someone called Chitragupta, who keeps the count of everybody. He's being naughty and nice. And Chitragupta is like the scribe. And nowadays, he has a lot of trouble keeping up with everybody. So, in any case, Yamaraj, Chitragupta, and that whole gang has their responsibility of ascertaining or judging people, ascertaining what their next birth is going to be. So that's how bodies get changed. You can't really change, as in that movie, by going under some tree and chanting some mantra, and, you know, holding on to the... Those of you who've seen the movie know what I'm talking about. You change through the authorized system. And, of course, the yogis, they can transfer themselves to some other planet. That's another system that's there. So what you saw in the movie was not actually an avatar. That's a misnomer. Because the word avatar doesn't simply mean to change your body, because everybody's changing bodies. Changing bodies, reincarnation, transmigration. But the word avatar basically means to cross down. To cross down. In other words, up. Not necessarily up there, because if you're in Australia, then up there is down there. You know, sometimes we say you should go back to Godhead, you know, to the spiritual realm, to heaven. But for those in Australia, heaven is down there. Heaven is hell, hell is heaven. Sometimes I joke with them, I said, you know, how can you walk like this upside down all the time? The blood is rushing to your heads. So, that's what the word means, avatar. And it's very similar to the word tirtha. Tirtha means to cross over, not necessarily to cross down or cross up, but to cross over. And so a tirtha is a place where you go to cross over the impediments in the material world and go back to Godhead. For example, there's different tirtha. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, tirtha means a holy place. And in the holy place, another name of holy place is Vaikuntha. I mean, the place where there's no anxiety, if you're in the right consciousness. Plenty of people get an anxiety when they go to Vrindavan, isn't it? Like, where's the taxi? But if you're in the right consciousness, that's how you enter into a holy place. You can't simply go to a holy place by getting in an airplane and taking a train or taking a car to a particular holy place. You have to have the right consciousness. You know, some people think they can go to Vrindavan just by taking a car. It doesn't work like that. So a holy place is where you cross over in the right consciousness, and an avatar is something that descends. So there are different types of avatars. So not to criticize the movie, but the movie name was wrong, not avatar. It's just like, should just be called change of bodies, change to a little or big blue body. So descend, and there are different, the Vedic literatures list different types of avatars. It's very specific. The thing I liked about the Vedic literatures that convinced me to follow Vedic literatures was the literatures were very specific in their descriptions, what I called scientific, not in the mundane scientific idea that you can test with empirical, your empirical senses, or it's an empirical test. But basically, they're very specific answers to specific questions that we all have. You know, when you don't have specific answers, then people lose faith very, very easily. We've been talking about this the last 2 days, because I've been reading about different groups that are there, support groups that are there for people who lose faith. There's different support groups for ex-priests, ex-ministers, ex-mullahs, you know, people in the Muslim tradition. Because they lose faith because their questions are not answered. They're, you know, they're intelligent people. And they have questions like, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? Or good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. You know, why is that? And why are people suffering? You know, little babies suffering all over the world. And it's, and they just can't understand if there's a God who is all good, all-knowing, all-seeing, you know, omniscient, how these things can occur. So in intelligent people, they, after they examine it, like scientists, they generally they lose faith after they see these apparent contradictions. So without specific answers, it's hard to keep people, intelligent people at least, focused on God consciousness, or at least believing God. So you have many of these societies of atheists and support groups for people who just became an atheist. I'm a new atheist. I just got initiated. And what's your name? Well, it used to be Krishnadas, but now it's Bob. So, it's very interesting, you know, an ex-priest. And of course, people, when they become atheists, not only does the church reject them, you know, one day they're giving a sermon from the pulpit at the church, and the next day they're just kicked out of the church, they're locked out of the church. Not only that, but their family rejects them. It's a very heavy thing that occurs. You can imagine, like, if one day I said, I don't believe there's any God, and I spoke that from right from here. I don't think I'd be allowed back in the temple again after speaking like that. So, and these are intelligent people. So why are they rejecting? Because their specific answers, their answers are not given. There's not a scientific explanation of who you are, where you came from, who God is, what does he look like, what does he do. So in the Vedas, we have the specific scientific explanation of what avatars are, or different types of avatars, and we're going to explain. Of course, yesterday we were celebrating the appearance of the Nrisimha avatar. We'll describe that type first. So Nrisimha avatar, he's what we call a Leela avatar. And it's interesting. A Leela avatar, does anyone know what the word Leela means? Pastime, but there's another explanation for it. What? Play. He's a playful avatar. It doesn't seem like much play. He goes around killing people, ripping their intestines out, right? But as we explained yesterday, like, people very much enjoy playing these different sporting games. They enjoy watching the sporting games. And so the Lord has all the characteristics and personality aspects that any of us have, but in a very pure way. And so he enjoys doing these things, and that's one of the reasons he comes down. That's called a Leela avatar. just to play. So we saw and we described yesterday that Nrsimha Bhagavan, that's the half-man, half-lion incarnation of the Lord who you see here in the nice deity, Lord Nrsimhadev, that he was playing even when he was killing Hiranyakashipu, the great demon who had previously attempted to kill his son. He was playing with him just like a cat plays with a mouse or plays with a bird. So that's what's called Leela Avatar. So that's Lord Nrsimhadev. And so there's many other types of avatars. There's something we're going to... The last one we'll do is Shaktivesh Avatar, of course. There's Manvantara Avatars. So that means there's different Manus cycles in each day of Lord Brahma. Does anyone know how many Manus in each day of Lord Brahma? 14. Like the first Manu, what was his name? Swayambhuva Manu. So there's different Manus. There's 14 Manus in each day of Brahma. And how many days does Lord Brahma have in a year? This is an easy question. 365, one more in leap year. Universal leap year. And Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, that means 1,000 of our Divya Yugas taken together. How much are the Divya Yugas? Anyone know? What? Yeah, but how much? Give me the whole number. Do the calculation.
4 billion.
It's a lot. It's actually the Divya Yuga, the four Yugas taken together, is 4,300,000. And so 300,000, that's the duration of Brahma's one day, and there's 14 Manus in each one of those days. And each one of those Manus, Manvantara avatar, there has to be an avatar, someone who comes and takes up the responsibility for the universal management during that particular time. So that's called the Manvantara avatar. And there's also another thing called the Guna avatar. The Guna avatar is the avatar or the personality who's responsible for controlling one of the, what? The Gunas, the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the Guna avatars are usually fixed, whereas the Manvantara avatars, there's positions and different personalities can take that position. Even Lord Vishnu sometimes becomes a Manvantara avatar, all the way from the spiritual world. But generally, it's a jiva soul who takes that particular position. So as far as the guna avatars, the guna avatar is Lord Vishnu in the mode of goodness, Lord Shiva in the mode of ignorance, controlling. It's not that these personalities are in material modes. And Lord Brahma in the mode of passion. So that's the guna avatars. And there's another one. Get all these different avatars. There's the yuga avatars, right? And each yuga, there's four yugas in each Divya Yuga. And that's Kali, of course, we'll start with Satya Yuga. And then after that, there's Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, and Kali Yuga. But sometimes Treta and Dwarpa are actually reversed in a reverse order, which is interesting too. But that's, we don't need to get into those technicalities. So in each one of those yugas, there's a yuga avatar who does what? He teaches the yuga dharma. And, of course, in each yuga, Dharma means there's a specific religious practice that is executed in a particular yuga. In Satya Yuga, it's meditation. In the Treta Yuga, it is swaha, opulent sacrifices in which you require mounds and mounds of gold and ghee and other things. In the Dwarpa Yuga, it's a temple worship. And in Kali Yuga, it's what? Does anyone know? Krishna Nam Sankirtan. So it's important in each and every yuga to observe the yuga dharma. And of course, other dharmas are done. Of course, we do meditate. We do have fire sacrifices. We do worship the deities. But they're all taken in support of the yuga dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. So in this day and age, the yuga avatar, who's the yuga avatar? Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes the Lord is called Tri Yuga because in the Kali Yuga he appears as, let's say, a hidden avatar. It's not so apparent to everyone. But in the Vedic literatures, there's much information about Lord Chaitanya's advent. Krishna Varnat, we saw Krishna, Sango Pangar Sriparshanam, Yagya Hi Sankirtana Prayar, Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. So it says that those in Kali Yuga who have good brain substance, instead of what gobar, just like sometimes people say, in India, they sometimes they mispronounce things. They say, are you going to Gober, Don? I've had people say that in different parts of India. The Bengalis, they say, you're at Gobardhan. I said, well, Gobardhan Hill, you know, it's a pretty big hill of cow manure. Right? Gobar brain. So if you don't have a Gobar means cow manure, for those of you who don't know. A little bit of Hindi. So those who have good brain substance, what do? Sumedasa. Sumedasa means good brains. Yajanti hi sumedasa. They worship the Lord doing this sankirtan, harinam sankirtan. One very important thing about this yuga dharma is the harinam must be received in disciplic succession. We were speaking about this morning in class. Some of you were there. That there's many people who chant the names of God, but they don't seem to be making so much advancement. I mean, what does advancement mean? It doesn't mean you have a pot of gold. You know, some people think like that. I've been worshiping Krishna for so many years, and I'm still driving around in a Volkswagen or something like that. People think like that. No. Advancement means that you become detached from this world, and you get knowledge. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayada Haitukam. This is symptoms of advancement. And of course, you get attachment to Krishna and all those other things. So one may say, why should advancement make us detached from this world? Because things in this world are temporary. They're chanchala. Lakshmi is very chanchala. They come and go. So therefore, why do people who do this yuga dharma apparently not make much spiritual advancement? I was talking about this in Fiji, where we have so many of these Ram Mandalis. This is something I mentioned in class today, too. And you see people chanting Ram Nam for hundreds of years, of course, for 40 or 50 years, and they never become detached. They're still taking intoxication and doing everything after chanting Ram Nam. In the very Mandalis, they're chanting and taking intoxication. In Fiji, they have this type of intoxication called kava, which is a muscle relaxant, makes you very relaxed. And so practically in most of the Ram Mandalis, the marble is broken on the floor of the temples because they actually pound the kava after the Ram Katha. Could you imagine that? Ram Katha, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram. Please bring out the intoxication. You know, that's their Sunday feast. Can you imagine, you know, after Krishna Katha, all right, downstairs we're going to be having some beer. You know, there's our nectar drink tonight. You know, of course, we get a lot more people coming to the temple, I think. A lot of the locals would come. Like that, and it's even like that in Fiji. I mean, it's funny in Fiji. I'm diverging from the class a little bit, but in Fiji, there's a lot of the natives Fijians, and they all come to the Ram Nomi celebration after they're finished with Ram Katha, because there's a kava for everybody, free kava. So the reason people aren't becoming detached is because they're not hearing the name in disciplic succession. And you have that in America too. We have many kirtan groups that are not connected to the disciplic succession. And people are chanting the name for many, many years, yet they're still engaged in activities that anybody would consider to be materialistic. You know, even an impartial observer. Because they're not, the name, the holy name is not simply a vibration that is manifest from the lips and the tongue and the vocal cords. The holy name actually has to descend. One has to be empowered. I mean, it may look the same and sound the same, but it's not the same. The example I sometimes give is the plug, or what we call PowerPoint, where you get your electricity in the wall. It looks the same, but if it's not connected to the powerhouse, it actually has no power. It's useless. So the same way with people who are not connected. So that's part of the Yuga Dharma. Sampradaya Vinayahe Mantraste Nishpalamataha. If one's not connected to the disciplic succession, coming down from Lord Brahma, or coming down from Lord Shiva, or Lakshmi, or the four Kumaras, which ultimately come from Krishna, then one's mantra doesn't have the effect. You may dance nicely, just like we have in America and in other places. They have many groups, they dance with the Gayatri Mantra. Isn't it? Gayatri Mantra. They're chanting and dancing in Gayatri Mantra. But their lives are not changing. But look at Prabhupada, how Prabhupada came to the Western world because he had the Shuddha Nama, the pure name. He came to the Western world and just chanted under a tree without any musical accompaniment other than his cartels in Tompkins Square Park in New York. And so many people joined and their lives were changed. Prabhupada said the miracle that he was doing was he changing hippies, which you don't know what they are. But anyway, he was changing hippies to happies. Hippies, Prabhupada said hippies meant something wonderful, you know. You know, one reporter asked him, what is your definition of hippie? Something amazing or wonderful, Prabhupada responded. So, changing people from the lowest, excuse me if any of you happen to be hippies, but anyway, changing, I mean, I was at that platform too, but changing people, and Prabhupada even went to nudist colonies to preach. Found some of his leaders of the Krishna conscious movement living in trees. It wasn't me. But he found some of them living. I mean, that's the potency. I mean, if you can just like turn someone from like a nudist living in a tree, forgive me if you're a nudist, but living in a tree, you know, having taken a bath for God knows how many years. And turn them into Vaishnavas who are able to preach and empower others. And then Prabhupada is also able to empower others to do the same thing. So that's the proof the name works. And the name is also another type of incarnation. There's Nama Avatar. That's the next to the last type of incarnation. The Nama Avatar, because it descends, that's the point. It doesn't ascend. It's not that you can just read the Gayatri Mantra in the book. I remember when I first took Gayatri Mantra initiation from Prabhupada, we had this piece of paper. Don't show this piece of paper to anyone else, only to those who were initiated. Everybody remember that paper? And of course, people were asking, why can't we do it? You know, and they were making rumors that if anyone else reads it, he'll go crazy, you know, jump off the Brooklyn Bridge or something like that. But that's not the reason. The reason is it won't have any effect. Because for a mantra to have effect, it has to descend. Someone can read it or chant it or do anything you want, but you have to receive your mantra from the disciplic succession. Even devotees in the Krishna conscious movement, they have to be empowered to chant a specific mantra. So Prabhupada gave us many, many specific mantras. One is the prayer to Lord Narsingadev. And of course, there's many prayers in the Vedic literatures. There's prayers of Lord Shiva that we've been hearing about recently, etc. So that's another type of, perhaps that's the most, one of the most important avatars for us is the Nama avatar. But remember, it's avatar, descending, crossing down from this grid, not crossing up. And then the final type of avatar I wanted to talk about is called the Shakta Vesha avatar. And this is a very wonderful type of avatar because this means a person who is empowered, a jiva soul who is empowered to carry out a specific purpose, not only preaching. Like you had Prithu Maharaj, some of you may know the Vedic literatures. His empowerment was to be a perfect king. Prabhupada said he's a Shaktavesha avatar. So it's not that all Shaktavesha avatars are necessarily primarily preachers. I mean, certainly they do preach, but they're not primarily preachers, but they're coming down with a specific mission, given the empowerment to act in the stead, you know, as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you have like Prithu is the king, and of course you have Lord Buddha, who was a Shaktavesha avatar, who had a specific mission. I mean, of course, he did not preach bhakti. What he preached, for those of you who want to know a little bit about Buddhism, is he preached more or less psychology. In spite of what many Buddhists may tell you, that he preached atheism, He never, if you read his sermons, he never denied the existence of God. He just said, basically, that God is not any of these material elements, which is something we agree. And also he said, material world is suffering. Suffering is caused by attachment. Give up the attachment, give up the suffering. And ultimately, it's the Eightfold Path. You know, right living, right thinking, etc. So you have Buddha, who's a Shaktivesh avatar. You have the members of our disciplic succession, prominent members like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and then in this day and age, we have His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who was a Shaktivesh avatar, someone who descended from the spiritual realm to carry out the mission of spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement. And Srila Prabhupada, his advent was predicted. His preaching was predicted in the Vedic literatures. You'll find information in some of the Puranas, how someone, a great personality, will appear and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. You'll find information given by Lord Nityananda, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and many acharyas in our disciplic succession that corroborate the exalted position, our understanding of the exalted position of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So, being a Shaktivesh avatar, he is also what we call the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And founder acharya is a very interesting term, just to let you all know, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not use that term, which is really interesting. Even though he spread Krishna consciousness all over India and empowered Srila Prabhupada and gave his disciples instruction and empowered Srila Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada specifically took a term and was insistent upon that term that even his own spiritual master didn't use. So this is indicative. I mean, Prabhupada, being a very humble servant of the Lord, wouldn't try to surpass his spiritual master, but it's indicative of Srila Prabhupada's exalted position, that Srila Prabhupada has set the example coming from the spiritual world of how people should execute Krishna consciousness in this age of Kali. This is a very, very important thing to understand. So Srila Prabhupada's position as Shaktivesh avatar. So for us, perhaps Srila Prabhupada's position or Srila Prabhupada's understanding that particular avatar of the Lord is more important than understanding all the other avatars. And by understanding Srila Prabhupada, one will understand, will get the proper understanding of the avatars. Understanding Advaita Chuta Narir Ananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha, as described in the Brahma Sangita, that all the avatars are the same person, Vishnu Tattva avatars, not the Shaktivesh avatars, not the Manvantara avatars, and not the Guna avatars. But all the Vishnu Tattva, that means the personalities who are God himself, avatars such as Lord Nrsingadev, Varaha, Kurama, they're all the same person acting to fulfill a specific purpose and to enjoy himself exchanging different mellows or rasas or tastes with their devotees. So, any questions or comments about anything I said tonight? We're going to keep it short. Yeah, Rishikesh. You can also say he crossed down, yes.
But why did he do this role of demon?
He's like a demon avatar. You know, technically, you don't really hear that type of avatar, described so much as being an avatar. But yes, technically speaking, yes, he crossed down. That's right.
So who's responsible for that?
Who's responsible for that? Blame God. Because God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He was the one who arranged for him to come down. Whatever happens to an individual is ultimately part of the plan of God. Now, there's two ways that things happen to individuals, two sorts of dynamics. One is karma, and the other is the direct intercession of God. So karma, there's a reason for karma. Karma is not just punishment. Karma is arranged so that we will learn certain lessons. For example, let's say in this life, I like to go to McDonald's. Let's say I don't. But let's say I do. And I'm not really making the connection between Big Macs and big cows. Right? The connection just not there, you know, somehow or other, that some living entity is suffering because of that. So, guess what happens in the next life? I get to be a Big Mac. Now I get to be a cow, and I get to experience it from that perspective. Perspective taking is an interesting way of learning how to be compassionate. You know, ever heard of perspective taking? That means when you're dealing with someone, let's say someone you just don't understand, you put yourself in their position, and then you begin to understand. So karma basically does that. Like Prabhupada said about Colonel Sanders. Anyone's heard of Colonel Sanders before? They used to call it Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now they call it KFC because there's very little chicken in it. I hate to tell you that. Anyway, whatever. So Colonel Sanders, Prabhupada said, would have to take, or KFC, founder Acharya, would have to take a chicken birth and death for every chicken that's ever sold in his... But, I mean, that's karma. So, you know, you learn by taking that perspective. Once you were eating, now you're being eaten. And actually, in the Vedic system, when one is offering a goat to the goddess Kali once a month, what do they say? Mamsa Kadati. That in my next life, you'll get a chance to offer me to goddess Kali. So there's a learning that occurs. Of course, then the question is, how come we don't remember how we learned? But you can learn things and not remember how you learned. You know how to walk, you know how to talk, you know how to write, you know how to speak English or whatever other language you speak, and you don't remember how you learned it. At least I don't. I don't remember how I learned to walk. But it's a subtle, it's imprinted in the subtle body. To understand this, one has to understand that one has a subtle body. The subtle body is getting impressions. And gradually, through all these karmic experiences, we do develop some compassion. You know, that helps to understand how the other person or other entity is feeling. So that's karma, okay? So then, on the other hand, there's God. Those who are directly under the jurisdiction of God, those who have somehow either taken devotional service or accepted the supremacy of God, whatever. Or even chanting Nama Vash, you know, at God's name accidentally. So then God directly puts them in situations to learn certain lessons. Because learning lessons is a multi-life experience. And sometimes the lessons appear to be very heavy. I mean, it's really heavy stuff going on in the material world. But there's a reason why it's happening. There's a reason, there's a lesson that living entity has to learn, either karmically or through the direct agency of God. There's a reason. And this is the justice of God. It's not just justice in the sense of punishment for the sense of punishment. And many of us who are in Krishna consciousness for years have gone through intense experiences, but then we look back. It's called, what is it? Hindsight is 20/20. So we look back 20 years later and understand why we had to go through that particular experience. You know, what was the lesson we had to learn? I mean, I've had that realization many, many times in my own spiritual life that while I was going through it, I was thinking, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? But then 20 years later, I said, thank you, Krishna, for having me put through that. So maybe in my next life, I'll say thank you too. So the point is, there's a purpose behind all the madness here. And the purpose is to eventually teach you that this is not your place. Of course, there's many lessons along the way, like the lesson of compassion, the lesson of love. I mean, compassion for other living entities, seeing all living entities as part and parcel of Krishna. There's many lessons connected with the main lesson of understanding our places with God and worshiping God and respecting his parts and parcels. But it's all meant for that particular purpose. like a child who's getting chastised by the parents doesn't always appreciate. Like my mother, she would, anyway, she spanked me. And she would say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I would say, well, I don't want you to be hurt. Anyway, she'd say, I'm only doing this because I love you. And I said, please don't love me so much. Or if this is love, you know, I don't know what hate is. But I think many of us have been through experiences where we were chastised by elders, and we appreciate that later on in life. I mean, I'll give you one example. When I was young, I went to school, and I learned to use some words that were not so nice. What we call four-letter words for my friends. My mother came, I just thought I'd use them on my mother. So I just thought it was cool. You know, that in school, you learn these things are cool, you know, whatever. And so I said to my mother, you know, I won't tell you what I said. And she said, come with me into the bathroom. We're going to wash your mouth out with soap. So to this day, I can't say any of those words. I find it impossible. So, I mean, I thank her for that. Because it's more or less a clean mouth because of that. So, of course, I'm not justifying harsh treatment of children at all. I'm not justifying what my mother did. But what I'm saying, there was a purpose behind it. So God is not cruel. He's doing things with a purpose on an individual basis for what the person has to experience. If we see the purpose, see, people don't see the purpose of the world. You know, in philosophy, that's called teleology, to understand the purposes. You know, why is this world here? You know, you ask people, why is the world? What's the purpose of the world? Of course, the scientists will say there's no purpose. It just exists because it exists. I mean, purpose means there's some consciousness. Like if I say, what's the purpose of this thing? Then you'll say, well, the purpose is to control your computer, right? It's a mouse. But if I say there's no purpose, it's kind of stupid. Or I say it just happened by chance. This is a scientist. You know, just one day the elements combined. And there was this interesting looking plastic device. You know, plastic always makes itself by itself. Isn't it? You know, this interesting design. Well, now I figured out how to use it. It's too late now. Because it was off. Anyway, Krishna's arrangement. Krishna arranged that. He couldn't figure that out. So it was all God's will. So, no, I mean, obviously there's a purpose. And so there's a purpose in everything. But we just don't understand the purpose. Although it appears cruel, we don't understand what the actual purpose is of these things. It's to get us to a place where we can enjoy eternally. Because even if you live the most blessed life, you still have to leave your body and lose everything at the time of death. And that's traumatic. Have everything taken away from you. I mean, people, for the soul to leave the body is so traumatic. Sometimes the soul would hover around the body that's one of the reasons in India you have this cremation. Because otherwise the soul can just like hover around and just like, and sometimes the soul has to be dragged away by this Yama person and by the ropes of Varuna. Because the soul is so attached to your body. I mean, to the body. I mean, just like if you have an expensive car and you're attached to your car, if someone carjacks you, takes your car away. Anyway, it's miserable. Sometimes people even stay with their car and they're dragged along the street after the car is carjacked, you know, and they're killed in that process. They're so attached. So basically, to be detached from something that's causing us misery is necessary. And to be attached to that which gives us eternal blissful life is nice, because this material world does have its share of problems. It's temporary. The death rate is 100%, always will be 100%. Right? Modern science can sometimes make things more miserable for us. Not necessarily. I mean, sometimes we can use it. Does that explain? So when we understand the purpose behind everything, then we won't lose faith seeing this whole world, you know, in the mess it's in. But if we don't understand the purpose, then, you know, there's no God. We come to the conclusion there's no God. Then I'd be calling up, you know, Atheists Anonymous, or not No, not Atheist Anonymous. God conscious, Krishna Anonymous, you know. Said, I have this problem, I have to stop the chanting, you know. And they come rush over and help me stop chanting. You understand? Like Alcoholics Anonymous, Chanting Anonymous. So any other questions? Quick questions, yes.
So Maharaj, you were speaking about many people are not getting purified, so chanting, not making spiritual things. But don't you think most are making at least some advancement?
Well, there's Nama Bhash. Now, you can, it helps you to a certain extent. Nama Bhash means a reflection of the holy names. It helps you become free from karma, as I mentioned before. Even if you chant accidentally, even if you chant meaning something else, it can help you to a certain extent. But it can't, it's not pure, the pure name, Shuddha Nama. It won't really help you get rid of the anarthas. The example I gave this morning in class, were you there this morning in class? Was that of Ajamil. Ajamil, those of you who know, don't know the story, I'll tell it even for those of you who know the story. Ajamil was getting ready for a heavy karmic reaction. Because what he had done is he had neglected his actual wife, neglected his father, misspent the money, and was doing so many things that would be considered vikarmic. It means really bad reaction he would get from it. There's karma. Karma means good reaction in this particular context. Vikarmic means bad reaction. So he was doing all these things, and he was getting ready for, as they say, here comes the judge. You ever hear that statement? That's from the 1960s. Here comes the judge. So he was getting ready for the judgment day. And not the judgment day when people rise out of the tomb and their bones shall rise again. That's not what we're talking about. The bones don't rise again. I got news for you. They ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That's what Lord Jesus said. I'm just quoting from him. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So he was getting ready for his personal judgment day. What do they say? Meet your maker. That's another statement. So then he, because of good fortune, because of previous pious activities, he named his last child what? Narayan, which is the name of God. And being a nice father, he was, 86 years old or something like that. He was calling his child, very attached to his youngest child, Narayan, 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 which is the name of God. But that wasn't the pure name. It was Nama Bhash. And but the Nama Bhash gave him the benefit of not being taken away by the judges, by the police, which are the Yamadutas. But still, he didn't go, not there. Anyway, wherever it is, he didn't go back to Godhead, you know, Krishna Loka. I can't point anymore. So still he didn't go back to Godhead. He had to engage in actual bhakti under the instructions of a bona fide guru to get purified, to chant the Shuddha Nam. So if you really want to make spiritual advancement, you have to receive the name from the right source, from someone who gives you the actual name rather than a reflection of the name. So there is some benefit. Yes, Haridas Thakur points that out. Nama Bhash comes. Is there, you know, liberation is there, all those other nice things, but not back to Godhead. It's not there from Nama Bhash. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. And many people don't know that, like, sinful activities, they don't know that they're sinful or that they're wrong. And there may be, like, if you read The Journey Home, Radhanath Swami came to the realization of the regular principles. But generally, how can one, without hearing that they're wrong, just like, you know, there's many very good Christians and great Christian preachers, but they think it's not, there's nothing wrong with eating meat, that God gave them the animals and it's healthy. Mm-hmm. And
how to explain? First of all, I don't use the word wrong usually. Mm-hmm. And I don't use the word sin because they're overused. Sin. You're sinful. Nobody wants to hear that. So I use this role-playing thing. You know, okay, here's an animal. How would you feel? Or I may say you have a dog. You love your dog. So the cow or any other animal has feelings. And they say, well, it says, I mean, they may quote the Bible. That's not actually quoting the Bible, but it's quoting their interpretation of the Bible, wherein they say animals don't have soul. That's from St. Thomas Aquinas. That's not actually from the Bible. The Bible doesn't say animals don't have soul. The Bible says man shall have dominion over the animals. Dominion means you take care of them, like a man has dominion over his children, but he doesn't eat them, at least in this country. So that's all the Bible says about the animals. And it also says he who slays an ox is the same as he who slays a man. So people ignore those particular statements. So we have a responsibility for those who are helpless, like children. We have a great responsibility to make sure they're not abused, or animals who are under our care. We have a responsibility. So this animal has feelings. That's how I would explain to someone. It's not just like sinful. I mean, people talk about, we all in Christian consciousness, we talk about the four regulative principles, but I explain each and every one how it's counterproductive to spiritual life. Usually when I'm giving initiation, I go through this explanation. I say, we didn't pick four to be the most painful for you. You know, sometimes people say, why did you pick four easy ones? Like no beats? You know, those things, I can deal with ones like that. But we picked four specifically, and I can give a philosophical or even a psychological explanation why each one of those four is detrimental to advancement in spiritual life. I mean, how can one call themselves spiritual if they're mistreating God's creatures? I mean, how can you call yourself spiritual if you're cruel? And you're hunting, you're killing animals, and causing pain to other living entities who are coming from God. That's how I present it. Because if you just say it's sinful and it's wrong, it's just like my mother used to say, it's wrong for you to join the Hare Krishna movement. And I said, that's your opinion. Isn't it? And fortunately, I was right. Isn't it? You know, even though my mother likes to tell me, I told you so. So, wrong, sinful are just like words that people respond to. They reject those words generally. So I just present things philosophically why it's helpful. I mean, intoxication is an easy one. I mean, how many brain cells are killed with each swig of beer that you take? Does anyone know? A lot.
What? They say you have, more than 10 million, they don't mind losing
it. Well, a few thousand? I mean, a few thousand adds up after a while. And what to speak of what it does to your liver, and what to speak of what it does to your ability to focus and your consciousness, and talk about, the higher values of life. So there's all sorts of explanations we can give rather than going into the point of it's wrong to do this. You know, with all the regulative principles, we can deal with these things. And also, as far as the meat eating, there's the ecological explanation, there's the economy explanation. There's ecological is a very powerful one nowadays. I was just listening to a man who grows vegetables in the city. This is a big thing in America now. They have micro farms in the city. So he has these 2 acres. They're just right in the city, and he's growing enough to feed 10,000 people in 2 acres.
Wow.
Intensive agriculture. And yet, this is in Milwaukee, where it has less than ideal climate. So 2 acres, intensive agriculture. It was on NPR. Sometimes I listen to NPR. And it was really interesting. But if you have animal-based agriculture, on 2 acres, you can't even grow enough to feed a family. What to speak of 10,000 people. And then you're using all this water. I mean, we have so many arguments. I mean, there's health arguments, too, but I'm not going to get into all those in class. So there's ways to approach the issue. But if you always approach like you're going to be punished if you do this by the big bad Yamadutas, it really doesn't usually evoke the right response from people, or the response that you want from people. So instead I give another explanation. I try to be positive. Do this or you'll get punished. Don't do that. In other words, don't do that or you're going to be in trouble. They're coming to take you away. They're coming to take you away. You ever hear that before? That's an old one. Yeah, I'm sorry. What I'm saying many times is dating myself. Yeah. It was a song, I believe. In the 60s, yeah. So, you know, I usually don't approach people like that, you know, with fire and brimstone. Usually I approach with glubjamins and sweet rice. So, if there are no other questions, it's time for prasadam. Right. Thank you very much. Prasadam will be served outside. I think it's warm enough today, right? No? All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jaya.